VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. And while we know there is much going on in the world today, there is also much going on in individual lives. Our guest today has said there is no heartache equal to that of losing a friend or family member to suicide. Wading through the wreckage and debris is confusing and agonizing, yet there is help. There is hope. This help and hope is found only in Jesus Christ. Perhaps a friend or a loved one you know has committed suicide, or perhaps you have been ministering to someone who has gone through this tragedy. We want you to know that this program is for you today, a program that we trust will bring relief to the feelings of emptiness and confusion that go through an individual's life. With us today, we'd like to welcome Julie Gossick, a wife, mother, and grandmother. She's a Christian school teacher. She's been involved also in teaching, discipleship, and counseling ministries. She's the author of Hope Beyond Despair, a book helping the reader find truth about a loved one's suicide after that suicide takes place. Julie, thank you so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You're welcome, Jim. Thank you for having me here today.
And Julie, you're not writing this book out of theory or based upon classroom exercises, but it really comes out of tragic personal experiences of suicide in your own family, and it's far greater than the average person has ever experienced. If you would just begin by telling us your story so it helps us understand that the principles we talk about you've experienced firsthand. So tell us your story as it relates to suicide in your own family.
You bet. I do write this from experience, and unfortunately, I have a lot of experience with suicide in my family. When I was 13 years old, my mother committed suicide. She asphyxiated herself in her garage. 6 weeks prior to that, her husband, a stepfather, also took his own life through gunshot wound. Self-inflicted. And then later, I had a stepbrother that committed suicide. In 2002, my own brother, biological brother, took his life. And then 6 months later, a cousin hung herself from a belt in her closet. She was 14 years old. So unfortunately, that's my expertise in this area.
So 5 suicides have occurred in family members.
Correct.
Okay. Julie, not only you haven't just experienced this, but you've also looked in Scripture itself, and you found that there were suicides recorded in Scripture. Tell us about some of these.
Right. Yeah. There are 6 suicides recorded in Scripture. 1 attempted suicide as well. And let's see. Samson committed suicide when he brought the temple pillars, the temple down on himself through pushing on the pillars and bringing down the roof. Saul, of course, and his armor bearer in battle took their lives. Ahithophel, he took his life. That's recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Zimri was also an Old Testament person who committed suicides. Found in 1 Kings chapter 16. And then, of course, Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. He's probably the most notorious person to commit suicide, follower, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He hung himself after he betrayed Jesus. So those are the biblical examples of suicide.
And looking from these biblical examples or from things that you've noticed within your own family, what leads a person down that path? What leads a person to suicide?
Yeah, I think the reasons are many. I think in Scripture, you know, we see people killing themselves out of vengeance upon enemies. They ended their lives to escape undesirable situations, impending consequences, or foreseeable suffering in the future. fear and anxiety is a madness that often initiates suicide. Some people are overcome by guilt, regret, and that causes them to commit suicide. I think today we see the same things that we saw from Scripture. We see sorrow, extreme sorrow, depression, loneliness, perhaps a terminal diagnosis, major life changes such as death, divorce, bankruptcy. Those can be some of the circumstances that lead people down that dark road.
And more than just pain and suffering, there's also reaction that people have, reactions that people face after a loved one commits suicide. And I'd like you to look at some common reactions. I know for you, you mentioned in your book that you became quite defiant after your mother committed suicide.
Absolutely, yes. I was only 13 when my mom committed suicide. I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know His Word, so I didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling. I didn't have guidance from our Father, our Heavenly Father. And so I was on my own, so to speak, to wrestle through it. And my response was really anger. I felt ashamed. I felt that anger, and that anger just led to rebellion. I just was openly defiant, disrespectful to my dad, my teachers, others in authority over me. I started getting drunk at parties with my older siblings and their friends. I cut classes, blew off my schoolwork, my grades plummeted, and so it was just a downward spiral, this anger and fear and bitterness, despair and selfishness and pride that was in my heart manifested itself.
So what turned you around?
What turned me around? When I was 15 years old, I went to a Bible camp, and I heard the truth of the gospel. I heard that Jesus died for my sin, that He paid the penalty for my sin, and that I could come to Him and ask forgiveness for my sin. And that's what I did. I accepted His forgiveness, and I received a new heart, and I received the Holy Spirit indwelling my heart. And from there, I could work through my fear and my anger and my selfishness. I could work through my sinful response that I had to my mother's death. And praise be to God, the God of all comforts, He comforted my heart in that and brought me to a place of obeying Him.
Julie Gossick is our guest here today on Crosstalk, author of Hope Beyond Despair. It's a book helping readers find truth after a loved one's suicide. Julie, you mentioned you had anger and bitterness after your mother's suicide. You're a young teenager at that time. Praise the Lord, you went to Bible camp, came to trust Christ as your Savior. But you had to work through that. Did you snap your fingers and that anger and bitterness was gone? Work us through that process. How did you overcome? How did you work through that anger and bitterness?
Right. Yeah, that's a good question. It did not go away right away, obviously. It was a long process for me. Many years as I grew in my relationship with Christ and as I understood who He is through His Word, I was able to work through, for example, the anger and the bitterness toward my mom for what she had done. I needed to forgive her, and I know it sounds strange to talk about forgiving someone who is dead, and there's a sense where that can't be transacted to them because they're not alive. However, forgiveness is something that we do in our hearts before God. And I knew that I needed to forgive my mom. And so I remember one day just verbalizing it really out loud that I had forgiven her. And I knew she couldn't hear me, but what mattered is that I was obeying Christ by forgiving as He has forgiven me. And so that helped me to work through the anger and the bitterness. But then there was the guilt that comes so often with losing a loved one to suicide. I felt that I had caused her death. And so the blaming thoughts just continued to plague my mind. Things like, if I'd been more obedient as a little girl, she wouldn't have killed herself. If I would have put my clean clothes away and turned my socks right side out, if only I would have said, or if only I wouldn't have said. And those accusatory judgments just waged on in my life, warfare against me. And I just took that to the truth of the Word of God, Romans 14:12. Every person must give account of himself to God.
Yeah.
Our choices belong to ourselves, and my mother made her own decision. And certainly I could confess any wrongdoing I had done as a young girl, but the blame for her death was not my own.
You also felt shame. Tell us about that shame.
Yes, I did feel shame, which, you know, kind of is fear of man. I was overly concerned with what others thought of me. I felt like I had a neon sign on me that said my mother committed suicide and that everybody was looking at me through those lens, through that lens. So I actually became a speaker for a national organization, and as I shared my life story and told people what had happened with my mother, I realized that people didn't condemn me for my mom's choice. In fact, they loved me and they had compassion on me. And that did help me to put off my shameful fear of man and being overly concerned with what others thought because of my mom's suicide.
So you have these feelings of anger, bitterness, guilt, shame, but there was also the internal pain and suffering too, wasn't there?
Absolutely. My heart hurt. And a lot of that hurt centered around unanswered questions and confusion with what happened and why it happened. And what really began to heal my heart was when I learned about God's sovereignty. Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. And his sovereign rule is not arbitrary. It's always consistent with his other attributes, such as his wisdom and his kindness, his love, and his mercy. And so as I learned about God's sovereignty and I pondered his purposes of why I had to go through that, why it happened, I could see that this was part of his plan for my life. And he had some reasons, some of which I could see, some of which are just hidden in the mystery of his sovereignty, and just had to rest there by faith.
Julie Gossick is our guest here today on Crosstalk. She is involved in teaching, discipleship, and counseling ministries, but also has experienced five different family members that have committed suicide. And talking today about the pain, the suffering, the anger, the guilt, the bitterness, the shame that comes as a result. But it doesn't end there, friends, and that enters a chapter of hope that goes beyond despair. We're just seconds away from a break, and as we take this break, we are going to come back to that section of hope beyond despair. How do we deal with this? How do we cope with this? There are many lies out there as it relates to suicide, and we're going to look at what God's Word has to say to these issues, thoughts and feelings one has, and we'll address these after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, anything new found in outer space recently?
Chris, there's always something new. Recently, the Hubble telescope located several giant gaseous planets orbiting around burned-out stars. Now, gaseous planets are not strange. Jupiter, Neptune, Saturn, they're all large and gaseous, so that's not a problem. What is a problem is that the Big Bang Theory dates these at 12.7 billion years old. This, according to the theory, is much too soon after the Big Bang to have formed the heavy elements which are present. They just don't know what they're going to do. Well, I don't know what they're going to do either, but I do know what they should do. They should give up the Big Bang Theory because it's wrong. It doesn't fit the evidence. There's got to be a better way. And there is such a way. It's found back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and sadly this topic of suicide has tragically hit the homes of many, and today's program is to deal with this issue, to give hope that goes beyond the despair that one feels in their life. And Julie has put together a book, a booklet, if you will. It's only like 42 pages long or so, but it deals with biblical principles in dealing with this as we delve more into the topic here today. And if you are one that perhaps you're going through the pain and suffering, maybe you're in that stage of anger or bitterness or guilt, if you've had a loved one committed suicide, or a best friend, or know somebody who is going through the dark days, we are making available this booklet here as our way of saying thank you for your support of Crosstalk. One copy is available for donation of just $6, or three copies, and that's what we recommend, is you get a copy not only for yourself, but that you also have on your shelf as a resource to help others. If you know somebody else going through the pains and the difficulties right now, is to give them a copy of the book as well, or to have one available when such incidents occur. So one copy available for donation of $6, or three copies available for donation of $15, and that's going to include shipping to you. All you need to do is go online at vcyamerica.org and request it. vcyamerica.org, you'll find a handy way to order it there, or by calling our switchboard at 800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. Julie, you've gone through, tragically, not one, not two, not three, but five suicides in your family, and a person looks at this and they just said, you know, my life is gone, it's devastated, and many wonder, how can I possibly move on after a loved one has committed suicide? Is it even possible to move forward?
That's a great question, Jim. Absolutely. In Christ, all things are possible. And yes, you can move forward. You can have a life of joy, a life of peace, and a life of hope because of Christ, even through a suicide situation. Absolutely. And that's why I wrote this book. After the fifth suicide in my family, I looked in vain for a resource that would give true biblical hope from Christ for someone who had survived a suicide. I wanted to give something to my family members, and I couldn't find a resource. And I also wanted a resource that would share the gospel, mm-hmm. would share how you can receive Christ and have a personal relationship with him. And I kind of laughed, and I said, well, I'll have to write one myself. And the Lord took me up on it.
Wow. Wow.
So that's why I wrote this booklet.
And folks, it is a tremendous resource, and we're going to work a little bit more through it. In chapter 3 of your booklet here, you address what you call a smorgasbord of lies and the truth of God's Word. And I'd like to talk about just some of the lies that you present. And one of those, and you've kind of touched on this earlier, where you say, my loved one's suicide is my fault. That's part of the blame game, blaming yourself for it. Deal with that lie, where one would think the suicide that somebody else committed is your own personal fault.
Right, and it is such a lie, and it's so deceptive. And I would say it's probably the number one lie that most friends and family members believe when someone they know has committed suicide. We instantly turn to ourselves and think that we could have prevented it, or we think that something we said or something we did caused that person to snap, push them over the edge, and cause that suicide. I'm not sure why we naturally have that tendency to blame ourselves, but that is what we do, and we need to know that it's a lie. It is absolutely not the truth. Certainly, we may have sinned against our loved one, our friend, family member who committed suicide. We may have said some wrong things, and maybe we were even the last person to talk to them. But we need to know that each person's choice is their own. And unless we personally did an act against them causing their death, then we are absolutely not to blame. Each person bears the responsibility for his or her own choices.
Hmm. Julie, another lie that comes into the thoughts of many is, this is more than I can take. It's more pain than I can bear. God, you promised me I would not have more pain, but I cannot cope. I cannot deal with this. There is just no hope for me. I cannot bear this pain.
Right. It is overwhelming. I would say there's no pain that equates with losing a loved one to suicide. And those of you listening that have lost a loved one to suicide know exactly what I'm talking about. And it feels like it cannot be borne by our souls. It feels like we cannot get through it. It feels like it will never go away. But it's not more pain than we can take. God has said that, yes, indeed, we in this world we will have trouble, John 16:33. But we don't walk through that trouble alone. We walk through it with the God of the universe. We walk through it with King Jesus and the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And so we have absolutely everything that we need, the sufficient Word of God, to enable us to bear this tremendous pain from a loved one's suicide. I think of 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation or no trial has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, with that testing, he will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So we can bear it with him.
With him. And that's what we have to underscore. It's with him. In our own selves, we're not capable, but with him, that's what gives us the grace to go through it.
Absolutely.
There is another lie you talk about in your book. The Bible doesn't address my situation. Sometimes we feel I'm all alone. If I go to the pages of Scripture, I can't find a situation exactly like what I'm in at this point. God really doesn't understand. He's not addressed this issue, and I'm kind of left out hanging here.
Right, right. We often think that. We assume that Scripture isn't practical, but Bible addresses topics such as anthropology, psychology, history, sociology, biology, theology, geology, and so many other ologies. It's a book about family relationships, death and dying, war, peace, deception, good and evil, hope, so many things. And yes, the Bible contains truths and principles to give us sufficient counsel, absolutely sufficient counsel for any circumstance, even a suicide situation.
Julie Gossick is our guest here today on Crosstalk. We're discussing some of the lies that are out there as it relates to suicide and also truth from God's Word. Another one of those is God absolutely was absent when this was going on. Where was God when my loved one committed suicide? Couldn't God have prevented this from happening? How do you respond to that?
Oh, yes. That is a difficult lie, and that is a difficult thing to wrestle with, is really God's sovereignty, God's goodness. And I don't know that we're always going to be able to wrap our minds around God's sovereignty, who he is, why he does what he does. It's something we have to enter by faith. And so by faith, we have to believe Scripture when it says that his plans and his purposes are always accomplished and can never be thwarted by anyone or anything, including evil. He alone possesses all power. He's omnipotent. He has all knowledge. He's omniscient. And he's present in all places at all times. He's omnipresent. And in that sovereignty, he's good and kind and wise. And I think we also have to look at the fact that there is an enemy, Satan. Satan is an enemy to God, but although Satan would destroy, God is sovereign over him. And so ultimately we have to look to see God's part in this. And I had to wrestle through that when my brother died, and his suicide could have easily been prevented. And I think about Job 12:10, where it says, in his hand, in God's hand, is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. My brother did not take one more breath or one less breath than what God had ordained for his life. And do I understand how that works with the fact that my brother overdosed? No. But by faith, I have to trust that God is absolutely sovereign and absolutely wise and good in his sovereignty. So really, the only way to fight that lie about God's rule in the suicide is through faith and believing in his word that he is sovereign and that his purposes are always accomplished.
Is there a tendency to blame God? God, you could have stopped this from taking place. You could have kept this from happening?
Absolutely. That is the easiest thing to do, is to blame God. And when we blame God, we are acknowledging his sovereignty, that he had a sovereign role in it. But we are then also forgetting that he's good, and that he's wise, and that he's loving. And so that's then where we would have to bolster our faith and search the scriptures to see that it is true, that he is loving and kind and merciful and wise in what he has done. Absolutely.
Another lie you talk about in your book is the thought that people who commit suicide automatically go to hell. Is a person's eternal destiny determined how one dies?
Great question, Jim. Absolutely not. What determines our eternal destiny is whether or not we have received Christ's forgiveness for our sins. That's what determines our eternal destiny. Not the way that we died, whether it was disease or murder or suicide. A person's everlasting dwelling place is established based on their relationship with Jesus Christ. I think of John 3:36. It says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Mm-hmm. I think that lie is probably propagated because of Judas Iscariot. He was called the son of perdition. And that means the, you know, son of damnation or destruction. And he was damned to hell, but not because he killed himself. But he was accursed because he betrayed the Son of God. And he was unrepentant. He was possessed by Satan. So I think that misguided notion with Judas leads people to believe that those who commit suicide go to hell. I think there are some different people who propagate that doctrine as well.
But you're saying it's not a biblical doctrine?
It's not a biblical doctrine. People who have received Jesus' forgiveness of sin go to be with him no matter the mode of their death. Now, of course, I want to add that it's not a reason for people to commit suicide if they already know that they're saved and they're going to heaven anyway.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. I've got just a little bit more discussion to have with our guest today, and then we'll give you opportunity to call in with your questions on Crosstalk, dealing with the topic of suicide, hope beyond despair. We'll be back in just 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
Having to prove the existence of God to an atheist is like having to prove the existence of the sun at noon on a clear day. Yet millions are embracing the foolishness of atheism. Now from Ray Comfort comes The Atheist Delusion. This 60-minute DVD pulls back the curtain and reveals what is going on in the mind of those who deny the obvious. It introduces you to a number of atheists who you'll follow as they go where the evidence leads, find a roadblock, and enter into a place of honesty that is rarely seen on film. You'll hear the compelling questions that cause them to doubt their atheism. You can obtain one copy of The Atheist Delusion for a donation of $5, 5 copies for a donation of $18, or 10 copies for a donation of $25 by calling 1-800-729-9829. Simply call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829. 9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Hope Beyond Despair is our topic today. Folks, indeed, there's a heartache. There's a heartache that happens as a result of losing a loved one. There's a lot of unanswered questions that go on. There's despair. We talked about self-blame. We talked about guilt. We talked about anger. We talked about bitterness, emotions that come as a result. We're also taking a look at some of the lies that are out there pertaining to suicide, and truth is found in God's Word. The aspect of hope is something that this booklet provides for the reader. And if you missed it a short time ago, we'll tell you how you can obtain a copy of this book. But one of the other lies that is presented here, Julie, is that there are those who will say, I will never be able to recover from this. I will never be able to move forward in my life. This has totally ruined my life. Is a life shattered? Is it done? Are you of none effect any longer once a suicide's happened to a loved one?
God's grace is absolutely sufficient. He doesn't waste the hurt, and he does use our suffering for good. But it is easy to believe the lie that our loved one's suicide has ruined our whole life. It's easy to make statements like that because it seems like a return to something normal. It's just difficult to imagine. Our tears don't cease. The brain fog doesn't clear. The pain doesn't go away, and the reminders are everywhere of this person that we love that is now gone. And it does seem that life is ruined, but it's not. And I understand that intense pain and the confusion, the grief, the heartache. And I know that as you grapple with this tragedy, it's easy to wander towards despair ourselves. And God's Word has hope. And I think having a biblical view of suffering that we gain from the Word is so important. I just think of Romans 5, 3 through 5. It says, and not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And I just think of the Apostle Paul that says, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and persecutions and distresses, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And we know that that strength is not our own, but that it comes from Christ indwelling.
More than once, Julie, you present the gospel in your book. Tell us why you did that.
Yes. Because that's my hope, first and foremost. My hope is in Jesus Christ, the King of my life, who has saved me. He has redeemed me from the pit. And I have no doubt that I would have the same end as my family members who committed suicide if I did not have the hope of Jesus Christ. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful in so many ways for Christ. And I want to tell others about him. And I know that often in a suicide situation, there are many family members who don't know Jesus. And so I wove the gospel through this booklet so that when it's given to a friend or a family member, that they will not only receive comfort and encouragement because of the suicide, but that also they may receive the words of life so that their souls may be saved, so that they can live eternally with Christ and see him face to face.
So friends, in this way, this booklet is not only good for those who know Christ as Savior and grappling with the issues of the emotions, the feelings, the guilt, the shame, the blame that happens when a loved one commits suicide, but it is also a wonderful tool to give to an unsaved person who's lost someone to suicide as well, because they will see that the hope comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. I again want to mention here that we are offering this booklet, Hope Beyond Despair. It is not going to take weeks and weeks for somebody to get through this. It is, as I mentioned here, just over 40 pages, about 42 pages of help and hope from God's Word, to deal with the issues that are grappled with in light of a loved one's committing suicide. We're making this available, this booklet available, for a donation of just $6 or more here at A Crosstalk, or three copies for a donation of $15. One to keep for yourself. Maybe you want to share it with your pastoral staff. Maybe you know somebody else, a family who is struggling with this, and you can pass it on to them. Just say, here, I'm praying for you. I think you'll find some help and hope from this booklet here. We're making it available through Crosstalk. It's available at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or by calling at 800-729-9829. One copy for $6, three for $15. It's called Hope Beyond Despair. Again, the number is 800-729-9829. Well, today we're opening our phone lines on Crosstalk, and if you've got a question you'd like to ask on this issue and that hope, perhaps you have experienced this in your life or your family, or grappling with some of the issues right now, or a loved one that you're dealing with who is going through such an experience, or a friend, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. We'll take your questions today here on the topic. If you've got a brief comment to make, we don't have time for long sermons, but if you've got a brief comment to make, or if you have a specific question you'd like to ask, pick up your phone right now and call 800-733-9829. And for the duration of the program, we'd like to take your calls and questions and brief comments here on the issue today. So pick up your phone, give us a call. The number is 800-733-9829. Let's begin in Bayside, Wisconsin. Roy, you're on the air.
Julie, I praise you for defining the Bible hero Samson as a suicide case. Samson had no future on earth. He was blinded and chained like an animal to a grinding wheel. So what about Christians afflicted with, like, the terrible Lou Gehrig's disease, which has no cure and is a horrible worsening tragedy? Why shouldn't some people use the assisted death as a Samson-style escape?
Thank you, Roy.
That's a great question. Yeah, thank you, Roy. I'll just tell you from personal experience, and this has not been mentioned previously, but 4 years ago I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer of the appendix. It's a very rare cancer, and it's a terminal diagnosis, and I'm starting chemotherapy on Thursday. Hmm. And so, you know, I could take that route. I could give up. But we need to preserve life. We humans were created in the image of our God, and it is not in our hands to take our life and our breath. Our life and breath is held by God. He has our days numbered, and He will fulfill those days.
As it was Samson, God ultimately gave Samson the strength to do what he did.
Absolutely.
Laura is calling next. Laura, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to call and mention that. Thank you for presenting this program today. I lost my father many years ago to suicide, and I found him. Still very painful, although I do have the Lord in my life, and I know where I'm going in the end. And I just want your listeners to know that not to take this guilt upon themselves, because she was right. It's not our fault. But I pray that anyone that has to go through this understands that it's not their fault. Thank you for your time.
Bye. And thank you, Laura. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Laura, for your call. And again, the comfort and hope that you find in this booklet will be a source of help in your life as well. Mary is calling from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. I just have a comment. I'm a little bit concerned as to the scripture behind this, because to my understanding, and I've had friends that have committed suicide, and they have no hope, but when you give your life to Jesus Christ, your new hope is in Him. Mm-hmm. And so I'm, with the way the world is changing right now, and the deaths with dignity, I'm a little concerned that people may take this and run with it, thinking that all they have to do is say this prayer and go ahead and commit suicide. And that's my comment. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I think it's important to realize here, Julie, that knowing Christ as Savior is not just a magical formula. Say these, you know, 12 words or whatever it might be, and you're safe from God's wrath. There is really something more to it beyond that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And certainly it is a heart of belief that goes beyond just saying some magical words in that regard, but certainly comes out of a heart of faith. It's by grace we're saved through faith. Let's go to Gina in Poinette, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call today. I really appreciate you both, and I appreciate Julie being on the air today and discussing this topic. I was introduced to a family member recently who is an elderly woman, and she is struggling with so much depression. She is talking to me on the phone and saying she wants to end her life. She doesn't live near me, so I was actually able to talk to her today for the first time, and I was introducing her to Jesus and telling her about the life, you know, and the hope and the way the devil deceives us with lies and how he tries to kill, steal, and destroy. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, Julie, will this book help somebody like her who has not lost a family member, but to help her find hope in Jesus? And do you have an audio version? She's can't read so well. She's got cataracts.
Yeah, good question. The book is intended for those who have already lost someone to suicide. It's not on the prevention end of things. However, with that said, this book contains truth from the Word, and it contains a very clear presentation of the gospel, and I would say yes, that it could help her in that way.
Mm-hmm.
No, I do not have an audio version, but if you use an app on your phone, I bet you could record a version for her.
Yeah.
You could read it.
It's not that long of a book to read through, and would not take you long to do just that.
Thank you. I probably will read it to her then over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good day. God bless you.
Great. Thank you so much. And something else I wanted to point out, you know, just wanting to be at their life's end, and God just take my life from me. But don't we even see illustrations, Julie, in Scripture? I think of Elijah, who just had that tremendous victory on Mount Carmel, and then how he had the threat of Jezebel, and he went off into hiding, and God take my life. And God reminded him, hey, there's still 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. I've got a job for you to do, Elijah.
Right. I think discouragement and despair is part of the human condition, and many, many of us have had situations just like Elijah where we have thought, oh, just take my life, Lord. I don't want to go through whatever is ahead of me. So that's I think it's natural, but it's supernatural to walk by faith and mm-hmm. to receive the comfort of our God of all comfort.
Yeah, and folks, too, I think in times of discouragement, the Apostle Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, but he realized, he said, yet it's necessary, it's needful for me to be among you, it's needful for me to continue to be there, to comfort and to encourage you. God had a plan and purpose for his life, just as he does for your life as well. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more of your calls here today on Crosstalk. Our number here, well, our lines are filled, but as people hang up, it's 800-733-9829. And to request a copy of the booklet, you can call 800-729-9829. One copy available for a donation of $6, three copies for a donation of $15. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. Did you know that America is involved in a civil war? Right now, there is a civil war going on. Not just through the media, through education, through public policy, but even at the highest levels of our national intelligence agencies. In fact, the deep state are Marxist. They're neo-Marxist. Think about it. Some of the highest men in power at the FBI were working to stop President Trump from being elected. Once he was elected, they sought to overthrow him. They were backing Hillary Clinton, who openly embraces neo-Marxist ideas. along with her husband, Bill Clinton, former president, who in the 1970s went behind the Iron Curtain to do who knows what. They also backed Barack Obama, who was actually mentored by a communist, Frank Marshall Davis. So my friends, reality is, the deep state are at the highest level and they're Marxist, and they're trying to overthrow our government. We are involved in a civil war.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Hope beyond despair, finding truth after a loved one's suicide. Julie Gossick is our guest here today on the program. And dealing with the issues, bringing comfort and hope and help to those who are living in the aftermath of a suicide. Let's go back to the phone lines where we have Dewey calling next. Hi, Dewey. You're on the air.
Thank you. I agree that suicide is not a loss of salvation. If the person was born again truly in the first place, I think this is a very hurting remark to make at a funeral or sometime later, whether the person was born again or not. What I would like to comment on, and I'd like to ask the guest to make a comment on my comment. I do not believe there's any difference between a person committing suicide than a person that's had a doctor's warning, do not be obese, leave tobacco alone, alcohol, or drugs. I think both of the people have lost their focus on life. And I'll hang up and let you comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Dewey. Julie, any comment?
Yeah, I'm trying to understand the comment that he's equating suicide with people who don't care for their bodies by using tobacco or abuse their body in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't quite equate it. Certainly, there's the sin of gluttony and the pasa pasa is we shouldn't be controlled by anything. And I would put that in the area of, disobedience to the Lord. But perhaps maybe suicide is just taking that one step further, but there are some other factors with suicide that I wouldn't necessarily equate the two.
Okay. Rodney is calling next. Rodney, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, a very, very important subject. I had a cousin that was lost to suicide. Beautiful, blue-eyed blonde, finished nursing training, and then that. So the question that came up at the time was she saved, and what happens in eternity? Is there any hope? And it's a theological thing because back then it was, if somebody did that, they would immediately go to hell. But that has been modified in recent times as I've been in pastoral ministry, and people really don't believe that anymore. So I'd like to have a comment about that. Thank you. I'll hang up.
Okay. Thank you, Rodney. And really, in this, Julie, Scripture needs to be our authority.
Absolutely. Scripture's never changed. Perhaps man's opinions on the issue have changed, but Scripture has never changed. Once saved, always saved.
We have Heather calling from Kansas. Heather, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to just thank you, and I'm planning on getting that book. My dad committed suicide 25 years ago, and just as she talked about blame and guilt, I was actually blamed for his death from several family members. I was the one who made the phone call that put him in prison before he took his life. And really only through God's word did it show me that, I am not sovereign, God is sovereign. And, it would have been, believing that lie that I could have, my actions would have changed, the outcome. So I just thank you for that encouragement. And just only through reading his word, am I able to forgive him, but then also forgiveness for things that I had done wrong in the relationship, too. So I'm planning on getting the book, and for my siblings also. So I just wanted to say what an encouragement, because, like she said, 25 years ago plus, I have not seen a resource out there like that. So God's word is always the answer. Thanks.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Heather. And indeed, that's why you wrote this book here, Julie, is to give response and that help and hope for those, just like our previous caller, going through issues just like this.
Absolutely. And I just pray that God's word would run swiftly in the hearts of people to encourage them through this difficult tragedy and to give them hope beyond despair.
Angel is calling next. Angel, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I'm calling because I have a question. I have two daughters, and they're teens. And, you know, I got into, situations with them where, you know, they think their life is tough and, you know, sometimes they even think about committing suicide. But I tell them, you know, committing suicide is a sin. And I tell them, I'm like, you might think that once you commit suicide, your problems are over, but they're just beginning. I'm like, imagine that it's like a nightmare, you know, that you have, that while you're alive, you wake up and then you say, oh, God, it was just a dream. But once you commit suicide, you know, it's a nightmare that's never going to end. And that kind of helps them to look at it my way and look at it into perspective that, you know, it could be worse committing suicide than what's going on. And I always tell them, too, you know, you might think you have a tough life right now, but there's someone out there that has it even worse than you.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to have our guest comment. And let me just say, Angel, the passage from John 10 came to mind about the thief that cometh to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I know that's, it's kind of dealing with a different issue than what we're on here today, Julie. But we have to understand, too, that even the trials and the struggles that we go through in life, that they're there designed for a purpose from God. And certainly God's desire for us is to have that abundant life through Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And when we endure suffering in faith, we bring great glory to Him, and it screams to the world that we trust in a God who is trustworthy. And I think you're right in the sense that, you know, there are consequences for the sin of suicide, and it is a sin. I think of, you know, 1 Corinthians 3:13, where, you know, we could lose eternal rewards if we are ushered into death by our own hands. 1 John 2:28 indicates that we could even be ashamed before Christ for not enduring in faith.
Thank you for the call. We're going to try and squeeze in. Carol, we have just a brief time left. Go ahead. You're on the air from Minnesota.
Just wondering, what we have had several suicides in our two small communities here. How do we, as a Christian church, help this? How do we help prevent it?
Any thoughts, Julie?
Yeah, good question. You know, obviously my expertise is sadly not on the prevention side of things. I would say if you can obtain this booklet from the radio station and if you could distribute it to friends, family members, churches in your area, then the truth of God, the Word of God, and the gospel of Jesus Christ can bring hope to those that have suffered from these tragedies.
Thank you. We're out of time here on the broadcast, but Carol, thank you for the call, and Julie, thank you so much for being with us too and providing hope for folk in need.
You're welcome. Blessings to you.
And to you as well. Just please stay on the line for a moment, folks. Again, if you'd like to get a copy of the book, Hope Beyond Despair, one copy for donation of $6, three copies, a donation of $15 at vcyamerica.org or 800-729-9829.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.